May the Lord help us to commence this evening's service by singing hymn 545, tune 472. Truly that poor soul is just, who by faith in Christ can trust, in him live, upon him rest, as the Lord his righteousness. Hymn 545, tune 472.
together from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapters 53, 54, and 55. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapters 53, 54, and 55. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travel of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. More are the children of the desolate and the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. Thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded. Thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, The Lord of hosts is his name. And thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, the wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. For the mountain shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. For thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, I will overlay thy stones with fair colours, and lay thy foundations with sapphire. And I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stone. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. Thou shalt not fear. And from terror shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not. Nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, he will abundantly pardon. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains of the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Gracious and almighty God, thou who knowest us altogether, thou who seest us, we are dust of this earth, the dust we shall return. But Lord, we pray that thou would come and draw near to us, strengthen us with all might in the inner man. Lead us into thy holy word of truth this night. Bless it in the hearts of the people. Use it to thine honour and glory. Dear Lord, how much we need that bread of heaven to strengthen us. The Lord, thou knowest our weakness, many temptations, multitude of fears and doubts, vast unbelief, failure to keep our eyes upon thee. The gracious God, we seek that blessed gift of faith, that we may be enabled to trust in thee. Increase our faith, we pray thee. Enable us, Lord, to keep our eyes on Jesus fixed, and there our hopes to stay. Leave us not to listen to the fiery darts and solemn temptations of the evil one. But Lord, how real they are. And he is a solemn foe. But O Lord, may we know thy presence and thy strength, thy mercy, thy constant help. May we know thy teaching, the blessing of thy holy word in our heart, its application, its power, its life, thy love and mercy in our soul, that we may be enabled, Lord, to fight that good fight of faith, to wrestle on toward heaven, to be strengthened with all might in the inner man, to be lifted up, and Lord, to be enabled to stand in that evil day, and having done all to stand. Gracious God, look down here this night and see us the exercises, the burdens, the crosses, the concerns, the needs of all those before thee. And Lord, thou knowest their pathway, and we would remember that thou hast walked out this way here below in thine own incarnation. We would remember that thou art touched with a feeling of our infirmity. We would remember, Lord, that thou wast tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And Lord, we would come to thee again and again. Lord, thou knowest condemnation that lies in our hearts, in neglecting thy throne of grace and thy holy word. Oh, how we need to come again and again, and thou dost so work to bring us there, to feel our need, that we may cling to thee and wrestle with thee in prayer, and prove that thou art that God that changes not. Lord, look down upon us then, and help us to trust in thee at all times, to roll every burden upon thee, and to be still and know that thou art God. Lord, thou knowest the turmoil of our hearts so often, and the weakness we are deeply conscious of, and the foolishness. But, O gracious God, we pray that we may find that peace and rest in thyself, which we believe we have known as we have journeyed on in life's pathway. That strength which flows from the application of thy word in our hearts, and the giving of those exceeding great and precious promises, Lord, we pray thou wouldst give them. They are our strength, thou knowest. We can come to thee with them. We can plead with thee, and we can bear them to thy mercy seat. And we can say to thee, Lord, thou sayest. Dear Lord, we pray that bless the ministry of thy holy word in these solemn and evil times, when few come to thy solemn feasts, and we live and have lived to see that great falling away prophesied in thy holy word. Gracious God, we pray, the work of thy Spirit in the rising generation that we see before us, the deepening of that work in their hearts, the establishment in their most holy faith, the work of thy Spirit in the young, bring them out of nature's darkness into thy marvellous light. Lord, look down, we pray thee, and come by thy Spirit, and move and work in Zion, the city of thy solemnities, for she is in a low place. The sound of the grinding is low. Little work is done, work of thy Spirit. There is a great withholding of the power of the Spirit in the preaching of the word. And dear Lord, we pray that thou wouldst pour out thy Spirit from on high, and grant, gracious God, that there may be a work of thy Spirit manifested in the churches, in its fruit, its lasting fruit. Lord, look down, we pray thee, and come and move and work, gather out thy elect remnant, pour out thy Spirit upon the preaching of the word, on thy dear servant here this night, and grant him the anointing of thy Spirit. Grant him his penny. Help him in all his labours. And Lord, remember all thy sent servants. Wherever thou hast sent a man, gracious God, help him. Strengthen him. Enable him to carry that burden of the word of the Lord. Lord, what a ever-increasing burden it is. But dear Lord, we pray that as thy dear servants go forth, that they may prove that thy grace is sufficient for them. Their strength, thy strength is made perfect in their weakness. They may learn, Lord, the blessed nature of the teaching thou didst give to thy dear apostle. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Lord, bless their labours. Thou seest that many of thy sent servants are now past the 70 years. And dear Lord, we pray, have raised up others in their place. How shall they preach except they be sent? Send others, Lord. May they have the blessing of Asher, having dipped their foot in oil and being made acceptable to the brethren. Gracious God, we pray that Don't look down in thy rich mercy upon Zion and favour and build her up. Upon the causes of truth up and down the land. Lord, thou seest the solemn divisions. And, Lord, the solemn withholding of thy spirit. And yet, Lord, we know that the government is upon thy shoulder. That thou dost rule and reign. Hearts of all men are in thy hands. And thou hast promised, I will work. And, dear Lord, we pray that thou wouldst work. And who shall let it? Favour Zion with the gracious of revival and awakening, if it can be thy divine will. But, Lord, we know not thy will. We know that we have all about us the signs of the last time. Knowledge has increased. Men do go to and fro throughout the earth. This great falling away has come to pass. Men are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And Lord, do we do live in these solemn days? Dear Lord, where there are great signs of the times, thy dear people have returned to the promised land. We know that according to the prophecies of thy holy word, the day is fast approaching when the veil will be taken from their eye. When it shall turn to thyself. And Lord, we know that they will be grafted in again. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt hasten that day. That blessed day when thou wilt fulfill thy purposes. And thy dear people, under solemn persecution and attack, will be brought to recognize that he whom they crucified at Calvary was the Messiah for whom they waited. Dear Lord, look down then, we pray thee, and come and move and work according to thy promise. Quite all in affliction and sickness and sorrow and bereavement, Lord, thou art gathering thy dear remnant to glory. One whom we loved was gathered even on the past Monday. And Lord, she's left a precious memory behind her, a sacred savour of thy work in her heart and thy faithfulness to her, the ingathering to be with thee where thou art. And Lord, we pray that thou look down upon those who mourn and comfort them. And dear Lord, do we pray that thou wouldst be with all thy dear people in sickness and sorrow and affliction. Sanctify, Lord, the pathway to them. And oh, grant that there may be real profit in it. For we have proved in life's pathway what it has been. To walk in the deep valleys and for thee to walk with us. Oh, we would prove it again and again. Thy faithfulness. Thy care, thy comfort, thy presence. And Lord, we would be strengthened by it. Undertake for us then, Lord, and be with us and go before us in all our needs. Help us to roll our burdens upon thee. Lay them at thy dear feet. Bless the reading of thy holy word to us. How blessed is the revelation of truth that lies in thy holy word. That revelation of thyself. And dear Lord, we pray that thou wouldst use it, that we may understand it, and the sweetness which it contains, and it may be applied to our hearts with almighty power. Dear Lord, we remember before thee our guilty land and nation, its vast wickedness, the great evils that abound on every hand, breakdown of our society, Lord, the breakdown of those scriptural practices and thy holy law, ignored, and man in blind ignorance, searching for causes of all the confusion in the land, and cannot see that they have all been generated by an abandonment of thy holy word, an abandonment of thy holy law, the abandonment of thy holy day, the abandonment of thyself, Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, we pray that thou wouldst look down and turn this land once again to thy holy word. Turn it to thy truth. Turn it to thy holy law. Grant that our national statute book may be brought into conformity to thy holy law. The Lord, thou seest the great evils of divorce, confusion it brings in the home and amongst the young people, the indiscipline, the great evils of promiscuity amongst the young. Lord, living together unmarried, the great abominations of darkness of Sodom and Gomorrah, which are in the streets of this land. Lord, the great murder of the infants in the womb in abortion. Oh, the hideous darkness of that drug culture which is sweeping through the land. Men seeking some relief from all their misery and evil. And Lord, we pray that thou yet in thy rich mercy pour out thy spirit on the blind and the ignorant, the deaf. And oh, grant the deaf may hear, the blind may see, and thy holy mind and will be fulfilled. Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. O gather out thy remnant in this dark and solemn day. Pray for the Queen as thou hast commanded us, to pray for those in authority over us. We pray for the Prime Minister, his Cabinet and his Parliament. O thou seest all things. Lord, our rulers are godless, evil men, monstrous wickedness in their lives, corruption in their practice. And dear Lord, we pray that thou would yet bring this land to thy word, and to thy law, and to thy truth. And grant, gracious God, that there may be a stemming of the vast tides of evil that have swept over the land as Satan goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Be with all, Lord, in high places who know thy name. How few there are, but we believe there are a few. Raise up Obadiahs around thee, court, God-fearing men in our national parliament. The Lord, children rule over us. We see it again and again. Godless men. But Lord, we are thankful that the hearts of all men are in thy hands. That thou, the Lord God omnipotent, reignest. Now we come to thee, Lord. We come apart for a brief moment from the things of time and sense. And dear Lord, we would seek thy face and thy strength this night and thy presence. Gracious wisdom and understanding, rightly to divide thy holy word. Touch our lips with the live coal of my heavenly altar, Lord, we ask. Fill our earthen vessel. Strengthen us with all might in the inner man. Grant the anointing and unction and dew of thy spirit. Apply thy holy word with power to the heart. Grant application, Lord, we pray. Bless thy people. We seek these mercies for the pardon and forgiveness of every sin, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1086, tune 173. Peace, my complaining, doubting heart, ye busy cares, be still. Adore the just, the sovereign Lord, nor murmur at his will. Hymn 1086, tune 173.
Christ. Turn, I direct your attention this evening to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 54, reading verse 10. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 54, and reading verse 10. The mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. There's the Lord that hath mercy on thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed. And my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. There's the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Here in this text is a great shaking. The solemn reality this will be when this world is destroyed by fire and these great mountains are removed and there's an end of all things. There is a sacred certainty about this. When we look at this, there is going to be a shaking in our lives when the Lord calls us, lay down our body in the grave. The shaking in the air and article of death. These are determinate counsels and part of the foreknowledge of God that this world will depart, will be destroyed, and that there are some solemn things in the paths of his dear people, for either of the two shakings will affect them, either when they lay down their lives here below, or if they're allowed and spared to see this great shaking that is spoken of here, the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed. Blessed mercy, if God works in our life to reveal himself and to make us tremble at his presence, to tremble at his dealings with us, to tremble before him, to know our own weakness and to feel it. Human flesh trembles under the mighty hand of God upon it. Have you known that trembling in your life? It epitomizes weakness, fear, unbelief. Oh, when a poor sinner is brought to shake under the mighty hand of his God, and the Lord shakes him in heart and soul under a solemn realization of his frailty and the Lord's omnipotence and majesty, and that one day he must stand and meet his God face to face and give an account of the deeds done in the body. Blessed mercy when the Lord does face us with these things, when he does come to us, when he does deal with us, when he separates us, brings us to see what are the vital concerns of life, and that everything we possessed here we have but on loan, have nothing permanent. Man, unregenerate man, lives here like the ostrich with his head buried in the sand, trying to forget the fact that he's mortal. What a solemn situation to be in. When we're young, we do not think about these things. We grow up, we try to forget them. But you know, the Lord has ways and means of bringing us and reminding us of what we are and how frail we are, how weak we are, and that all the strength of mighty men can be brought down in a moment under the mighty hand of God. Goliath was a mighty man, but he was laid low through the Lord's work, under the feeble instrument of the shepherd boy and his faith in his God. Has the Lord brought you to shake and to tremble? Blessed mercy if he has. Brought you to know your own weakness? Written into your heart and life, the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. We're mortal. We shall not stay here forever. Our time is brief, however long it may be, from the youngest to the oldest here tonight. And there is a certainty about this. The mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. All that we have felt was stable here, certain here, we shall learn the instability of it and the uncertainty of it. We shall learn the frailty of our flesh. It is a mercy, great mercy, when the Lord, in his mighty power and love to his dear church, brings them to a solemn realization of their frailty, makes them shake and tremble before a almighty God, speaks into their hearts with his blessed power. Because that is what has happened here in this chapter tonight. I would say this, that this chapter to the writings of Solomon in his song, it is a chapter relative to the bride and the bridegroom. It is exactly the same theme in the book of the Revelation, the bride and the bridegroom. We have it here, the bridegroom referring to himself in the language here of the woman forsaken and the wife of youth and the husband. These figures are throughout the page of Scripture, and they're very blessed figures. The Lord speaks in this way, thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. It's exactly the same figures in the Song of Solomon. We read of the bride and the bridegroom, the language of the church, my beloved is mine and I'm his. And here the Lord speaks to his church himself. There are many times in Scripture when the Lord speaks to his dear people in this way. One was to Jeremiah, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. But here is the identical figure in this chapter to recognize the relationship of a church of Christ with Christ himself. What the Apostle Paul speaks of as the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And here the truth is beautifully spoken of. The Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, a wife of youth, when thou wast refused. For a small moment I have forsaken thee, with great mercies will I gather thee. Little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. It is the shaking of one under a knowledge of sin and conscious of the wrath of God against their sins. There is condemnation here in little wrath. It's a beautiful expression. What son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Be without chastisement, we're all partakers, any bastards are not sons. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be grievous, but joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. And we see here the blessed nature of this truth, that the church of God is under a little wrath, is feeling a sense of being forsaken. And yet with each one of those expressions there comes a blessed counterbalance. And so we read, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, with great mercies will I gather thee, in little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith thy Redeemer. And then we enter into the promises. This is what is in our text tonight. It is a promise. A divinely given promise to the church of God. And so the figure is used. This is as the waters of Noah unto me, as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn I will not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. And we see this mighty wrath of God. Immediately the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. Oh, the wrath of God against this world and all its sin and evil, like the wrath of God against Sodom and Gomorrah. So he is waiting to manifest his wrath in this evil and adulterous generation, that to mock him as they did at Calvary and despise him. But here we see this wrath of God in the waters of Noah, went over the earth, destroyed mankind except for Noah and his family. And there was in that blessed figure of Noah and his family, the waters of Noah, was an ark of salvation. Blessed ark of salvation. It is a figure. This ark that saved Noah and his family. And the Lord promised thereafter, when waters abated, that no more manifest his wrath in this world in that way. And he put his bow in the cloud. And I wonder how often we look at the bow in the cloud and we consider and remember why it is there. It is a covenant between God and his people here, that summer and winter, seed time and harvest shall not fail, world without end. And that is a figure of that covenant between Christ and his dear church. The ark is a figure of Christ. There in that ark was salvation from death. Noah, what witness the wrath of God descend upon humanity. And he must have seen, when that water abated, a solemn scene of carnage all about him. He couldn't have seen anything else. The Lord had fulfilled his solemn purposes. But oh, in the midst of this wrath and anger and shaking, there is hope. So I have sworn I will not be wrath with thee nor rebuke thee. There's mercy. There is the grace of God that lies here. There is sovereign covenant purposes. There is a remnant to be saved according to the election of grace. There is a people to be gathered out. And when this time state shall end, there is a stability, a people to be gathered to glory. And they are redeemed, not only body, not only soul, but also body. They are redeemed with Jesus' blood redeemed. His beauty is called to trace. No angel can with it compare. The sinner saved by grace. Here then, we have these sweet promises. I'll not be wrath with thee nor rebuke thee, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. Now we come to it. My kindness. Oh, the strength. My kindness shall not depart from thee. Tender, loving care and affection and mercy to be extended. The Lord to put his arms under his shaking, trembling, failing, mortal creatures, those whom he's eternally loved, and to strengthen them with all might in the inner man, and to come down into their hour of need and their weakness and their infirmity and their fear, and to speak into their hearts with exceeding great and precious promises. There's a reality in it. There's a power in it. There's a strengthening of those things that remain that are ready to perish. There is a upholding of his people in their weakness. Oh, the reality of this. God's dear servant in Scripture proved it. They did. They knew the reality. I am with thee. Israel passing through the fire. Oh, the mighty tower of strength that was to them. The giving of the exceeding great and precious promises are to be known in all the Scriptures. Giving individually, personally, powerfully into the hearts of his dear people. They're spoken. We should seek earnestly the best gift. There is nothing in this world to be compared to his dear people walking in weakness, fear, trembling, shaking, then to know the power and presence of their God entering into their souls by the application of his exceeding great and precious promises. Oh, the strength that it gives them. I tell you this, their shaking ceases. Their unbelief is gone. They have a rock beneath their feet. They have a staff to lean upon. I love the example of Jacob when he came trembling to the grave in his old age. to bless Ephraim and Manasseh with that cross-handed blessing. And we're told he was leaning upon his staff. And that staff was the promises of God. He was leaning upon them as he came to his dying hour. And you know, remarkable that is, he was looking back to Bethel when the Lord had said to him, I'll be with thee in all places whithersoever thou goest. When he had dealt with him at Jabbok, and he wrestled with the Lord, and he blessed him there. I do not think it's speculation to consider that he used that promise of Bethel at Jabbok. Oh, the blessedness of a poor sinner that can in fact go to his God and say to him, Lord, thou sayest. There's peace to be able to approach him and say to him, Lord, thou sayest. Has he ever said such a thing to you, spoken to you, one of those exceeding great and precious promises? Have you ever in your pathway had to return to him and plead that promise? They're given for life. They're given to be spoken into the heart, never to be erased again. And you know, when we consider the mighty physical destruction of this earth, it is described in the Gospels and in God's holy word as to what will happen at the end of time. And this solemn fact that all around is going to give way, as the hymn writer says, when all around my soul gives way, he then is all my strength and stay. When he uses this figure, this solemn and awful figure, the end of time, and the solemn hour of our departure from this world, oh then, look at the comparison. Physical things are going to be left behind. Things that we have rested on are going to be shaken. When we come to look at this word, what a foundation. My kindness shall not depart from thee. Ah, here we have the one who's going to shake this universe, giving a exceeding great and precious promise to his dear church, speaking them it into their hearts. His kindness will not depart from them. You know, there is a rock-like power appearing here. I see it in these words. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, the power that lies in that word of God, never, when it's spoken into the hearts of his dear people. We cannot fathom the extent of eternity. It's beyond us. Eternal realities are beyond human conception. Only glimpses do we catch of them as revealed. What a blessed rock-like foundation this is in this simple little word, not. Oh, when the Lord speaks into the hearts of his dear people, my kindness. That's a remarkably simple word, is it not? Kindness. Oh, when we come to stop and consider all that lies here in it. I name a few things that lie here in it. One is this. God sending his dear son to Calvary's cross. God sending his dear son into this world in his incarnation. That dear son of God, working out a glorious righteousness for his dear church in his holy obedience to his Father as he walked this earth in thought, word and deed, and perfected a righteousness to clothe his dear church in eternity to come. His death and shed blood upon Calvary's cross. Kindness. Let us go further. His sovereign electing love and mercy that comes to sinners when dead in trespasses and sin. Sacred kindness of God to his dear people. His sovereign, rich and free. But the promise is this, shall not depart from thee. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, and not of evil, give you an expected end. Kindness. The mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but I say this, you know, God's dear people need no more. It is enough. When the wagons came from Egypt in Jacob's day, after all his trembling and shaking and sorrow and suffering, as he reaped to the whirlwind what he'd sown to the wind, all he could say was, it's enough. Joseph is yet alive. But what was manifest? It was this, the kindness of his God. He had not deserved it. What had happened was that he deceived his godly father, and the Lord had permitted him to be deceived by all his sons. And done it with a purpose. To convict him and convince him of his sin. When he came to see those wagons come, it was a solemn hour, you see, because he recognized at once he'd been deceived by his boys. All of them. But he recognized at once the kindness of his God. My kindness. Oh, God's dear people, a favor to see and feel and know the kindness of their God. They are. They're favoured from time to time in the hours of weakness and temptation and trial and affliction. As they are brought in sincerity and truth to come to his mercy seat and look up to him in heaven and plead for help, then he, the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in all his kindness, stoops down to touch his dear people's hearts and their fears and needs and temptations with a word from the Lord into their soul with almighty power. The cloud ye so much dread, said dear Cooper, are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. When most we need his helping hand, this friend is always near. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. We have to go down into the depths like Jonah did, under divine dealings of our God with us, to be brought in our weakness and feebleness and need, to know the presence and the strength of our God speaking to us with power in our hearts. And there are seasons we shall never forget. Strengthened with all might in the inner man. The apostle says it's meant much to us of recent years. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength and your weakness. And that is where the strength of God is known. And the apostle never again asked to have the thorn in the flesh taken away. He came to that blessed place where, most gladly therefore, extraordinary. But I glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. When I'm weak, then am I strong. It is to those who face the solemnity of this figure, the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, are brought to feel and to know their own weakness, solemnly aware of the issues of eternity, and tremble before God, and ask that solemn question, how shall I stand in that great day? When there my righteous judge shall come, to take thy ransomed people home, shall I among them stand? But oh, the mercy, being brought to this God of kindness, this God of love and mercy. And Moses asked the Lord to show him his glory. The Lord did show him his glory, but not visibly. He revealed his word. He spoke. But what did he speak? His glory. The Lord God merciful. Ah, gracious. That has over it kindness. Unmerited. Undeserved. The Lord God merciful. Gracious. Long suffering. Forgiving iniquity, transgression and sin. Oh, the kindness. My kindness. Why, when the Lord worked out that mighty finished work on Calvary's cross, it was done that his people might benefit by the glorious fruits of it and know his kindness to them in the application of his precious blood again and again throughout life's pathway to their heart and soul. Do you know anything of that kindness? Has the Lord stooped down and touched your heart? Has he drawn near to you in his blessed mercy and touched your soul? Blessed mercy if he has. My kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy upon thee. The covenant of my peace. Oh, that eternal covenant made between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in eternity past, with the object of bringing eternal peace to his dear church. Covenant of my peace shall not depart from thee. Oh, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He will not leave his dear people. But what a mighty covenant this is, whose word cannot be broken, ordered in all things and sure. David spoke of it. He had made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, though he make it not to grow. Oh, the sweet nature of that covenant. What a strength lies here for his dear people. What a foundation, what a rock to stand upon. Have you ever stood there? Oh, how vital. To hear the Lord's words spoken into our own hearts with almighty power, giving us this foundation under our feet, this good hope through grace, this rest in this world, this side of the grave. You and I need power. We do. We need a reality in that power. We need the word of God spoken directly into our souls with divine power. We need to know its life in our souls, strengthened with all might by his power in the inner man. That's what we need to know. And that will take away all trembling, all fear, when the Lord reveals this to us, when he draws near to us, in his love, in his atoning blood. We have this insight, you know, that he sees us. He knows our weakness. He has walked this earth, tempted in all points like as we are. He passed through the gates of death. He said at the time, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. He knows our feeble frame. Oh, how we see this in the Garden of Gethsemane. His entrance in. The sorrow of his dear church. The path of prayer, says to him, right of thyself hast trod. And he did indeed. But oh, the sweet nature of it. That the Lord has gone that way before us. Dear Job said, he knoweth. Not just by observation from heaven above, but by walking in this earth himself, from the cradle and manger to the grave. He knoweth the way that I take. Job had a sweet sight of it. I know that my Redeemer liveth. There's nothing to be compared to a word spoken from heaven into your heart. That'll lift you up. That'll strengthen you. Dear Jonah said, out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest me. When Abraham went to Mount Moriah, what a trial. Child of promise. All the promises God had given him in thee and in thy seed, that is Christ, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. All had to be laid on the altar and the knife raised over him. He walked in obedience. But what a burden. Everything had to be laid down under it. The knife had to be raised. As you know, he lived to see, did he not, the good hand of his God upon him. He lived to see, as Christ said, Abraham saw my day and was glad. He lived to, he came down from that mountain to see the sanctifying and know the sanctifying influence of God in that tremendous trial when the Lord said to him, in blessing, I will bless thee. Oh, beautiful word that, you know. Come into my peace, I not take from. He passed through an hour of trial of his faith in the fiery furnace, but he came forth to receive that blessing of his God, sacred blessing the Lord gave him, because there, as he raised the knife over Isaac, and the Lord halted his hand, and the Apostle Paul says, accounting able to raise him from the dead, and that he feared. There were all the promises under the knife, yet the Lord had prepared a ram caught in the thicket, ready for that sacrifice. What a sight he had of Calvary's cross as that ram he slew on the altar of sacrifice. Blessed sight he had of Calvary's cross. That was the blessing. The trial was a blessing. It was the hour in which the Lord blessed him indeed. This is so with our trials when they're in the hands of our God, and our crosses and our thorns in the flesh and our sorrows, as it was with the Apostle Paul. His thorn in the flesh was blessing. It was teaching. It was necessary. It was vital. It was the Lord's work. Who could make a mistake? Not the Lord. It was not a mistake. Abraham proved that it was divine purposes ripening fast for his benefit. And when we come to look at poor Job, and all the Lord called him to pass through, and how he spoke to Satan, Satan had no idea what the Lord was going to do with Job. And it was this. Behold, I'm vile. Was one aspect of the teaching. And the other was this. I know that my Redeemer liveth. The Lord reduced him and brought him to dust and ashes at the sight of himself. But he was with him. I am with thee. And he is with his dear people. The mountains shall depart. And the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my mercy be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. That's a lovely expression. Have mercy on thee. Has the Lord had mercy on you? Oh, to know that mercy in our hearts. That scepter, as Queen Esther knew it, extended to her by King Ahasuerus, who had the command of life and death. I'll go in unto the king, she said. If I perish, I perish. But the scepter of mercy was extended to her. And you know, it speaks of those who deserve eternal death. As in this case of Noah, there were those who were swept away into eternity without a hope. Well, God's dear people deserve as much as that. Children of wrath, even as others. A God who is rich in mercy, says the apostle, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. It's an absolute certainty that no man or woman, child, whatever, will reach heaven except through sovereign grace, mercy. The love of Christ and the mercy of God in Christ is the only way in which a child will reach heaven. Oh, to find an exercise in our hearts in these matters, realization of the solemn nature of eternity that lies before us, to feel the shakings here below, and to come to the source of strength, our God, my God, shall supply all your need out of his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That is strength. Atoning love and blood. Peace. All to be brought to know it in our own hearts. The mountains shall depart. No question. They will. And poor, frail, mortal man will leave this earth in the Lord's determinate time and way. But. What about that is? But. How good. Unutterably good when the Lord speaks one of these exceeding great and precious promises to us, for they're given forever, never to be taken from us again. They're ours. These promises are taken by the Holy Spirit and given to his dear people in their times of need. They are. And they stand before them not only in the hour they were given them, but they are with them forever. And the Lord knows they are, because they're signed, sealed, and settled in their hearts, never to be erased. Exceeding great and precious promises. Mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Amen.
hymn 1133, tune 669. May the power that brings salvation, now exerted in the word, by its quickening operation, life impart and joy afford. Life to sinners, joy to those who know the Lord. Hymn 1133, tune 669.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with you each. Amen.